Jeremy Ainley is our guest this week on the Shooter's Touch. He is the current head boys basketball coach at Clear Lake High School, has multiple state tournament appearances within the last 2 or 3 years, and attributes his success to really building and concentrating on the youth program at Clear Lake, as well as player development of his current team and current players. He has multiple connections of ours as well. He coached under Brian Martin and knows B-Mart very well, who is a past guest of ours, as well as other people within his network and within our network. It was good to talk to Jeremy. It was a fun conversation. It was awesome to hear a little bit more about his background and really get his younger story, childhood story, and how he got involved in coaching. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Here he is, Jeremy Ainley. I got the shooter's touch, can't nobody shoot like me. Fourth quarter down three, need a 2-and-1, better call on me, better call on me. If you know you need a shooter, I'm ice cold like a cooler. Get you right though, I can tutor this, that mic flow, I'm a hooper. I got blue faces on... Welcome back, shooters. Again, we have a great coach as a guest on the podcast this week, the head boys basketball coach at Clear Lake High School, Jeremy Ainley. Coach, welcome to the Shooter's Touch.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for inviting me on, and you know, just a great chance to you guys are doing a great job, obviously, you know, really picking up traction and, you know, just promoting, you know, what we've got going, a great thing, obviously, in the state of Iowa and the state of basketball in the state of Iowa and stuff. And you know, it's an honor and privilege to be on talking, you know, talking basketball with you guys.
Coach, we appreciate the sentiment, and we're trying to do what we can, and we love the game of basketball here in the state, and so we appreciate you jumping on. We do have to give a little credit to some of the kids that you have helped you with your Twitter account, because they're the ones that reached out to us initially and said, hey, our coach has a fun story, you need to get him on the podcast. And so we said, all right, what's a contact? And here we are about a week later getting you on. So again, we appreciate it. But before we jump in a little bit of your story, how are things up in Clear Lake? How are the kids doing? You have three kids at home, so I know you guys are busy. How's everyone holding up?
You know, we've been fortunate. You know, we haven't been really struck by any illness or anything, and, you know, stayed pretty clean. We did have, I have three kids, and, you know, we've all had to deal with a little bit of quarantine at some point. My oldest probably is, unfortunately, got the brunt of it. She's a high school junior, and you know, she had a little stint in the fall where, you know, she got a close contact, you know, at a lunch table, nothing she could do about it, you know, and had to miss I think up to 16 days you know, where she had to sit at home. And then, you know, unfortunately, the end of their basketball season, they're ranked number 2 in the state, and you know, they're cruising along and get a couple positive tests on the team, and it shut them down for right up through. She had to miss the first round of the playoff game, you know, so just an unbelievable experience as far as, you know, I'm coaching our team and we're cruising along and luckily never had to deal with any of that. But, you know, she got shut down for 10 days, you know, actually tested positive for the antibodies, you know, so she couldn't get it. You know, so she obviously had it at some point, I guess, but, you know, she gets shut down, has to miss the first, playoff game. And, you know, you're relying on, I think they had 7 girls, to get over that first win, so that they could all come back. They came back, won practice, bam, win 2 games, go to state, and finished, you know, in that semifinal game. So, you know, little nerve wracking, you know, having to live through that. But, you know, my younger two, I've got an eighth grade boy and then a 10-year-old daughter, and you know, things are busy. I mean, we've got all three kids are in AAU basketball now. You know, my high schooler is in golf. My son is in track, and then like I said, my youngest is in AAU basketball. So every night of the week there's a practice. You know, my job is starting to heat up. I actually am the sales manager at the boat dealership here, so. You know, it's we're starting to get busy. The ice is out. Everybody wants to get on the lake and stuff. So it's a hectic time in Clear Lake, but it's fun. You know, you someday you're going to look back and you're going to miss these moments.
Yeah, hi. Sure. That sounds like a lot.
yeah, it for sure does. And you know, if there's one thing that kids do, they keep you busy. And if there's one hopefully positive thing that comes out of this whole thing, it'll be, I mean, stories like that, you know, where the girls basketball team up there at Clear Lake had seven girls to play, and they, you know, won a couple of games and made it down the state. You know, that's just a motivational and a pretty cool story there. So, hey, if you listen to any of the episodes here, Coach, we like to start off, I guess most of them at the same spot. You know, where'd you grow up? How was the neighborhood? How was growing up in that neighborhood? And then where did sports come into, I guess, into your life?
Well, I grew up in Cedar Falls, Iowa. You know, went there through middle school. You know, and sports were always something that were, you know, into us. There was always a game going on, you know, whether we're down at the playground, you know, playing basketball, playing football, playing something. You know, and I actually got started at a young age. My parents, you know, they had season tickets to Iowa football games, and right from the time I was born, I was in games, you know. So I remember going to those games. You know, my brother's 3 years younger than me, but, you know, we went to games, you know, every fall. That's what our vacations were as kids, were those Saturdays in the fall. And, you know, we were, you know, always down there. And obviously those were, you know, then the spring rolls around and, you know, it's baseball, but it was never hard to find a game, you know, to play or something in the backyard, the driveway or somewhere, with friends, family, whoever. You know, so just really always were into sports. And then my parents actually separated and we ended up moving up for high school. We moved up to, we went back to my mom's hometown of Lake Mills. And it was, you know, it was kind of a shock coming from the Cedar Falls area and growing up in a town, you know, in a big city. And then all of a sudden, you know, going to Lake Mills of 2,500 people. But, you know, quickly found that, you know, obviously sports were important there, you know, and friends all did that and stuff. And, you know, it was funny. We, you know, I go to Lake Mills and I'm like, man, my eighth grade year, I actually did go to Linmar for 1 year, before we moved there, you know, so went Cedar Falls, Linmar, and then bam, Lake Mills. And so I'm up there and I'm like, I'm going to kill these Cowboys. You know, this is nothing, and man. My first year, I'm like, you know, football, I'm getting, you know, and basketball, you know, I start every game and I'm not scoring, you know. It's just like, what's going on? These guys are good. You know, they're good, you know? And, you know, I'm in high school and we've got Andy Stensrud as, you know, the big man on campus, you know, signs with Iowa State basketball, you know, but ends up playing football at Iowa State, but, you know, 6'10" and, you know, Mark Van Gorkum 6'6", 6'7", you know, goes to Wartburg, plays basketball and track, you know, and our varsity is really good. You know, Brian Hagan was a guard and he's the assistant GM now with the Bulls, you know, been so for 7-8 years. So, you know, these guys are really good and, you know, and I'm just trying to survive, you know, now all of a sudden it's gone to survival mode. You know, got through my first year and then all of a sudden my second year started having success, you know, and on football, basketball, baseball, golf, you know, everything. You know, I wouldn't say I was an unbelievable, you know, athlete up there or whatever, but I was good enough, you know, all conference basketball, you know, all district football. But, you know, once those big dogs on campus graduated, just kind of, you know, came into the role and, you know, really started to focus when I got to be a junior senior, probably pretty much on football and basketball. That was kind of my two things. You know, I loved to golf, but, you know, the two sports that I really strive for were those two. And, you know, really, you know, started to, you know, fit into a starting role in both of them. You know, like I said, got some all conference honors, but, you know, it was awesome. You know, there, you know, the weekends, you know, the weeknights we'd play, you know, dunk ball on the courts behind the school. You know, we'd find a game of football to play. It was never hard, you know, and so that just re-energized, you know, what I wanted to do and what I wanted to, you know, pursue, in the future.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it sounds like you moved a couple times, obviously. Mm-hmm. How do you think as a kid, how do you think, you know, athletics or, you know, sports in general kind of integrated you into those communities?
Well, just, you know, obviously when we moved to Lake Mills, it was like, you know, that was just one of the, it's such a smaller community. You know, what you really find out is in the bigger communities, you know, especially back then, but even so now is, you know, you were feeling the pressure in Cedar Falls and even a little bit, you know, obviously, you know, in Cedar Rapids at Linmar of kids were starting to gravitate towards one sport, you know, and it was almost becoming like, you know, you were either going to become a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player, and that was going to be your sport. And you couldn't do both or all or everything. And what I really loved about the small town feel was, you know, when I moved to Lake Mills, it was, you know, the first people I met with were the football coach, basketball coach, you know, every coach. And it was like, I really look back fondly of my time going to Lake Mills, of that I was able to do everything. You know, a lot of kids aren't able to do everything, you know, now is just because the pressures, if they want to play, you know, they've got to choose a sport, especially in the bigger cities, you know, and got to work on that year round. You know, we were able to work on everything daily, you know, and we're able to succeed in all sports. And that's, you know, kind of where it's come now to Clear Lake is, you know, Clear Lake's a 3A, but yet we're still the smallest 3A or one of the smallest 3As. And kids can do all, and that's what we make them do. You know, we want them to do that, you know. You know, I really look back on my time in high school, the time that I was able to do everything and really succeed, you know, and really, you know, be happy that I was able to play everything at a high level.
Yeah, and, you know, there is something to be said about that. I mean, you know, obviously Brian and myself coming from smaller towns, I mean, pretty much like Lake Mills, you know, where we did play 3-4, you know, sometimes we even talk to people that even played 5 sports in high school. You know, there's something to be said about that, you know, and I think that I think specialization is becoming such a big thing now. You know, we obviously talk to people on both sides of the fence, but it sounds like you're on the side of the fence where, you know, obviously play a lot of sports, as many as you want, but, you know, specialization might not be the best thing for you.
Yeah, you can never, you know, my time in college basketball, what I really, really, really got, you know, was you can never replicate competition, you know, and we want you to get bigger, faster, stronger. We want you to lift, but at the end of the day, you can never replicate competition and competing against somebody and having to beat them or, you know, survive or get beat, you know? So that's the biggest thing is just wanting those kids in other sports so they can compete. That's the thing I look at the most of kids is wanting them to compete.
Yeah. I think something that gets kind of lost nowadays, in certain situations. So, let me ask one question on the dunk ball that you were talking about. Is this a dunk ball? In my hometown, we always had to decide if it was a 7.5-foot hoop where everybody could dunk, or if we're putting it up to about 8.5 or 9 foot where most of people can dunk and some people had to really try. Which one were you playing?
It was 8.5. If you couldn't jump, you couldn't be playing, but it was always, you know, we were fortunate enough to have baskets behind the bat. We could lower them down and, you know, 8, 8.5, you know, probably never over 9 because, you know, yeah. I could jump not like crazy, but, you know, it was awesome. And it really, I think, is a lost art. You know, I tell kids, you know, all the time, say, you want to learn how to go to the rim hard, you play dunk ball because you wanted to dunk it on people. You wanted to get it. And that really, it made me a better player getting to the rim. But it made you want to cram it on somebody.
Yeah, and even it helps you protect the rim too. You know, you gotta maybe strategize about how to block that dunk too.
Yeah, you weren't letting people dunk on you.
No, that's great. That's great. I guess talking about coaching here, when did the coaching bug kind of hit you? Was that in high school? Was that after high school?
Well, you know, going into my senior year. You know, leading up to what I wanted to do the next year, you know, my whole deal was I was going to go to, I was pretty firm, had a spot actually saved for me, but I was going to go to the University of Iowa and be a football. I talked about walking on, went down to a practice and I'm like, no chance, no way. I'm insane.
That'd be my reaction too.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, so I'm going to go down there and I'm going to become a football manager. I mean, I went down there. Parker Wildeman had just graduated. He was on the staff and he basically got me I had a spot on staff, you know, coming in there. And then Coach Fry retires and all of a sudden it's up in the air. Wildeman's not going to be there. It's totally up in the air of what we're going to do. and what's going to go on. And, you know, my chance went from 99.9 to about 50-50 at best. And, you know, I do still to this day enjoy gambling a little bit. And it's like, man, my odds just went way down. And so, you know, I really, you know, was wondering what I wanted to do then. My gym teacher, Coach Nelson, who was my basketball coach up to my sophomore year, he had gone down to work for Coach Craftsison at NIAC. And so Coach, he was still our gym teacher, but didn't coach anymore, coached down at NIAC. And so he came to me and he's like, hey, you know what, why don't you come down here? And I had, and this is middle of the winter, and we're playing, and, you know, and I'm having a pretty good year, I'm feeling, and I'll never forget, we're up at Sway City, up playing up there against North Kasuth. And it's a small gym. It's the oldest, you know, the old style. The three-point line is about 10 inches, you know, away from the side. And we had a play where I would always be in the corner. I would drop out to the corner. And I hit three from there that would have all three been threes, but my feet, I had 12 and a half, so I couldn't fit inside there. And so, and up in the crowd is Coach Craftsison. He's watching. And so after the game, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to say something to Kay, because during that year, during the basketball year, Coach Nelson actually kind of had me entering stats for him in Lake Mills. I'd enter the game stats from the night before, so for the NIAC guys. And so I was familiar with Coach Craftsison, had been down there a couple times. And after the game, he comes down. He's like, hey, great job, Jeremy. And I'm thinking, like, I just had, like, 20. I'm like, hey, God dang, I got a spot, don't I? You know, now I'm thinking college basketball. And Kay's like, we'll talk. And I'm like, okay, perfect. So, you know, after the year, I go down and we're sitting there talking. And I'm like, so what? I'm like, Coach, what do you think? You know, I just had a pretty good year. And he looks at me and he goes, Jeremy, he goes, what do you want to do? What's your end game? And I'm like, you know what? I've kind of switched. I wanted to coach football. And now I think my end game is I think I want to be a college basketball coach. And he goes, perfect. He goes, I'm going to put it bluntly to you. He goes, you're slow. You're from rural town, Iowa. You're a dime a dozen all over the state. And he said, why don't you just go into coaching right now? I'll put you on the fast track to coaching. You're a recruit from day one. You'll go all over from day one. And I'll put you on that. And, you know, he goes, otherwise you're my 12th through 15th guy. And I, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I'm like, well, if my end game is going to be coaching and I'm never going to play, why wouldn't I just go right into this? So it was great. I ended up going to NIAC, you know, and from day one, it was, you know, it was an awesome experience working for him. You know, that was back when it was funny because, you know, my first year, that was back when they kind of had work release or work study is what they called it. And they let you get whatever hours you put in. I can't remember if it was $8 an hour. And I think that program ended probably because of me, because I made money at NIAC because it would be a 60-hour week and 70-hour week with games and everything. And we'd write it down and I'd get paid for all of it. And it was awesome. I mean, I made money, but you know, I'll never forget my first day. He's like, go down there and work with Clyde. He's shooting free throws. And Clyde McCulley was a returning All-American who was going to go getting D1s all over the place. And he goes, go down there and work with him on his free throws, or his jumper's gotten a little to the side. And I'm, you know, fresh out of high school. This kid's a returning sophomore All-American. And I'm like, okay. So I go down there and Clyde kind of looks at me and he goes, what are you doing here? And I go, well, I'm here to work on your shot. And he goes, if Kay told you to come down here, then yeah, let's do it. And so, you know, Coach Craftsison, you know, all the world of, you know, I can never pay him back enough of, you know, he had me recruiting. I'm going out day one and going to high schools around North Iowa and talking to kids. And, you know, last year I was just playing against them and now all of a sudden I'm recruiting them, you know, and he's sending me home with videos, but he just said, you know, his deal was right away. He goes, if you're going to get into this, I'm going to teach you how to be a coach right now. You know, and obviously he had an unbelievable resume and, you know, he's got more contacts than it could ever be. And, you know, for 2 years I did that. My goal was to still go back to the University of Iowa. And actually, you know, funny story is, you know, Coach called down to, by that time, Coach Alford had taken over and he had called down to Sam and, you know, and Steve and said, hey, I've got a guy, that I want to send down to you after this year. And they basically said he's got to come try out for, you know, he's got to come to basketball camps and work basketball camps. And I had been working basketball camps, you know, at different places, but, you know, their thing was that he's got to come down and try out. So I went down there and was actually with Coach Lansing and, you know, and BJ Brian Jones, you know, and worked with those guys closely, you know, and did a couple things. And it still is the only camp to this day that I've ever worked for free. And I kind of didn't forget that because I got back and, you know, Coach Craftson was not very happy that, you know, there wasn't a guarantee or what it wasn't this. And, you know, so we get to my sophomore year and he's like, where are you going to go? And, you know, I joke about it, but I was looking at, you know, Coach has got all the manuals in his office of all the different media guides. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one. And I came up, the next one up was University of Wyoming. And I'm like, this looks fun, you know, mountains. And, you know, I'd never been to the mountains, but I'm like, this looks fun. And I go, what about this place? And he goes, let me make a call. And he calls out, you know, to Coach Adams, actually out there, John Adams, who's was the assistant for Steve McClain. And he calls out there and John was actually a manager for Kay at Iowa State. And so he calls out there and he says, Johnny, I got a guy. And he said, is he good enough? And he said, yeah, he's worked for me for 2 years. He goes, here's what I've had him do. And he goes, perfect. We got a scholarship for him. You know, so it was that simple. Now I always do joke because the next book below Wyoming was University of Arizona. And I never even looked at that one, you know, and I joked after I decided to go to Wyoming, I said to Kay, I go, man, I could have gone to Arizona, couldn't I? And he goes, I just would have called Luke and yeah, you would have had a job or Coach Roz. You know, I was happy I went to Wyoming and that was even a better experience. You know, I was there for a year and a half under Coach Adams and Coach McClain. And, you know, that was a great experience being underneath those guys, being a Division I level. We actually, you know, funny that Gonzaga's in the news, but we actually that year we qualified for the NCAA tournament. We were an 11 seed, which I think we were grossly underseeded. Gonzaga was ranked 6th in the country that year. That was with Dick Owl, Ronnie Turioff. I mean, they were good, but they were just kind of getting to this point. And they were ranked 6th in the country and got a 6 seed. So the whole week they're complaining about their seed. And we're happy because we were actually the funny part. We weren't the last team selected, but on the show, we were the last team selected. You know, we beat Utah that year. You know, we had beat San Diego State, but we lost to San Diego State in the conference tournament, but we had won the regular season outright. And Utah gets in as an at-large. San Diego State gets in because they won the tournament. And now all of a sudden we're sweating it because the year before I got there, they had missed out and went to the NIT. And so it literally was the last team. And they flipped it and it was Wyoming. It was pandemonium in our room. It was absolutely pandemonium. But we, you know, we go down and we beat Gonzaga in the first round. I mean, manhandled them. And, you know, that experience, and we lost to, you know, an unbelievable Arizona team second round. And actually, that was a great game. Had them on the ropes, you know, and they were loaded. Luke Walton, Channing Frye was a freshman, Stoudemire, Gardner. I mean, they were unbelievable. And, you know, we gave them a heck of a run. And, you know, that correlated. Then I come back the following summer and, you know, Coach Craftson's like, hey, Coach Nelson's going to the Packers as an equipment manager. I want you to be my head assistant. And that led me into college coaching then, right into it, you know, after being, you know, being out there and back home.
Well, and that should do it for the podcast right there. I mean, that story.
That was great.
Unbelievable. But so several things that we need to unpack with this. Going all the way back.
Yeah.
That Northwood or North Kossuth game, was that a Nate Perry-led Cougar team up there that you played that year?
But Nate Perry was the best player on their team. And, you know, and unfortunately, to this day, every time I talk to him, he still has bragging rights because I think that's the only time we played.
Oh, I tell you what. So Nate, we talked a little off air, and so obviously we kind of know the connection there. But I always give him a hard time because Algona had a really good team that year too. 99 ended up going down to the state tournament, and he ended up playing AAU with a lot of those guys as well, with Duster and Gunnarsson and a bunch of those guys. And so I always give him a hard time that he couldn't come 15 minutes south and hang with the guys at Algona. But obviously, if you know Nate, he's got a different opinion on that.
Yeah, he and the funny thing is he went to Iowa Central, you know, his first year, and then came back to NIAC. So he was with us the second year. You know, when I was at NIAC, he was with the second, you know, with us that second year.
Yeah. Good dude. No, that's funny. Small world too. The other thing I got to talk about is that work study situation. Obviously they clearly don't understand, how much hours coaches put in because yeah, when you said, I mean, you're probably the second paid assistant on that staff then.
I might've made more money than, yeah, easily. Cause we didn't, when I came back as the head assistant, I know I didn't make as much money as I made in college.
I was going to say that's why those are salaried positions. Cause you only get paid about 12 cents an hour. So if they're going to give you $7-$8, you take it in a second.
Yes, exactly.
And then last one I have, I know Adam's got something too, but so Wyoming, were you there when Rodinghouse was out there then? Was that, how did that timeline work out?
So D-Rot, I played against him. He was a year younger than me in school. We actually played played twice. But he was a year younger than me. As a junior, they played up at Clear Lake or up at Lake Mills. And they beat us. And I actually remember a couple of his girls, you know, stayed after and came to our, we had a dance afterwards, you know. So I always gave him, I think one of them was his girlfriend. So I always give him crap about that. But then the next year, we played down at Charles City, my senior year, his junior year. And I'll never forget, I was having a great game. I was on fire, having a great game. And I wasn't guarding him. A buddy of mine was guarding him. And he drove line, and I was rotating over. And I'm like, I'm going to go up. I'm going up.
This is ending.
And I think I got to his elbow, and he was way above the rim. You know, so then it was good when I got out to Wyoming just to reconnect with him. And you know, ended up hanging out with him a lot. Just a great family, you know, a great guy. And, you know, in high school, you never realize how freakish guys are. And when you see them on a daily basis, I mean, D-Rot was a freak athletically. The year I was out there, he unfortunately sprained his ankle in preseason. He was going to play a ton. But just the consummate teammate. I just never forget how excited he was on the bench, you know, because he really had to fight his way. He had a high ankle sprain in preseason, really had to fight his way back. And, you know, to me, it was just amazing when I was out there that like, he didn't end up in an Iowa or Iowa State, because he was so good, out there. And like I said, but, you know, we hung out quite a bit, when we were out there. He was, I'll never forget, you know, we would get him. He was a horrible Madden player. Horrible. You know, and I think he'll admit that to this day, but he would go for it, you know, fourth and 30 on the 10-yard line. And his comment was, I'm like, what are you doing? And his comment was always like, Jeremy, God hates cowards. You got to go for it. And he would go, you know, and he would go for it and he'd lose every time. But, you know, he's just a great guy. And I see him every once in a while. When we play at Charles City, he comes over every once in a while and, you know, checks in on me a little bit, but, he's doing well for himself.
That's great. Yeah, Algona would always play non-con against Charles City. And so, obviously, Rodinghouse and Bruner shortly after that as well. And so, yeah, there was one time at their little Cracker Jack box that gets loud in there too, by the way. But he got one and just – it was a good game too, but he came down and just hammered one. And then, obviously, gave the silencer to the crowd and everyone was going nuts. And he was definitely freakishly athletic. And I would say too, yeah, a complete surprise that he ended up out in Wyoming. Like at the time, really knew nothing about it, and then started, you know, those Mountain West games are late on TV. That was like my favorite thing to fall asleep to in college, was watching those late Mountain West games, and then got to see him start playing quite a bit. I know that he ended up putting together a pretty nice career out there.
He did. He had a good career. He had a good career out there. Like I said, he was hampered by some injuries, but you know, he was out there, and as well as when I was out there, Alex Dunn was out there. Big six. He was from Sioux Center. He actually grew, I think, 8 inches before his senior year of high school. Went from being a shooting guard to 6'10". And he, you know, so when I got out there, he was redshirted the year I was out there, but, you know, started playing more, and I followed his career, obviously, because he was from Iowa here. You know, just the Iowa connection of us two. You know, he ended up playing overseas quite a bit, and had a good career. You know, but it all started, Coach McLean was from Iowa. He was from Orient, down in Southern Iowa. And then obviously Coach, you know, Adams being from, Okoboji, and then came back to Okoboji now, you know, obviously, but, it was a nice Iowa connection. You know, I'll never forget. We used to, Saturday mornings, I would go in and go into coach's office, and, he'd had DirecTV in there. And so I would watch the Iowa games, you know, an hour ahead and get there. And he'd come strolling in the office. And the one time he finally looks at me and he goes, Jeremy, he goes, there's nobody else on this staff that would just barge into my office and start watching the Iowa game. And I said, well, coach, God dang, you're the only one that's got the TV. And he'd laugh and he'd sit there and watch it with me. You know, Coach McClain was, you know, unreal. He did a lot for my career as well. You know, and still does, still keeps tabs on me and stuff. But, you know, yeah, it was a great connection having four of us Iowans on that staff or on that roster.
And that's super cool. Super cool. Hey, one thing I want to ask about that last part. So the decision to not play and really go down the coaching path, easy decision for you or hard decision?
You know, when Coach Craftson put it to me like he did, you know, of, hey, if the end game's there, it really wasn't that hard of a decision. You know, I was still, very involved. But it was one of those things of, you know, the end game, it's like, you know, it just kind of, you know, he put it so bluntly to me, you know, and just made it feel like, hey, I'm going to fast track you. And he really did. You know, like I said, I joke, you know, he's won a lot more national titles, but, you know, Ben McCollum was a player. He's my age. You know, he was at NIAC. He was a freshman when I was a freshman. You know, and I give Ben a lot of, you know, whenever I talk to him, I give him a lot of crap and say, hey, you know, you learned a lot from me, you know, being at NIAC. Now, obviously he's done unbelievably well for himself, you know, but, you know, it's awesome. The connection of all those guys that were there.
Yeah. We talk about it a lot on this podcast too, as far as just finding the right fit. You know, everyone's so concerned about level or about where we're going. And, you know, you might end up chasing a D2 situation clear out in Western Nebraska. Not that there's anything wrong with Western Nebraska, but maybe it's just not the right fit for you. And that's really cool that you had the humility and matureness, really, more than anything, to be able to understand that, hey, end game is here and how am I going to get there? And we've talked about that with other people as far as, you know, taking a manager position or something to be able to start learning and be involved in the game to ultimately get you where you want to go.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of schools that you can go to and be a student assistant, and you may not have a huge role. You know, you may be watching, you know, more than participating and stuff. And, you know, you really could be a towel guy, you know, where, you know, I was fortunate the two places that I went to, man, right away. I mean, I was involved, both places recruiting, you know, even at Wyoming, you know, went and watched a couple junior college games, you know, around the state and were sent to do that. But, you know, it was, you know, you always talk about your role. My role at Wyoming, you know, not only practice and stuff, but, you know, one of my favorite roles that I, you know, a good story is that I, you know, Coach McClain would always, you know, I don't know if he wants me telling him, but there's a lot of coaches that do it. You know, he would always have a dip in for practice and for even games. Now, I don't know what he ever did with it, cause I never saw the spitter, but, you know, it was awesome. Cause you know, he'd always come down right before practice. He's like, coach, you got run down. You got to go get me another 10. And so here I'm dressed for practice, shorts, t-shirt, you know, ready to go. And coach is like, you know, go get me a 10. And here's my keys to my, you know, Tahoe. So I'd go and, you know, run. And my thought in the back of my mind is one of these times I'm going to go to this little gas station right around the corner from the marina or the arena. And she's going to say, where's your ID? And I don't have it, you know, cause I, you know, I'm getting ready for practice. And sure as heck, one time it happens. And she looks at me and she's not going to sell to me. And I'm like, hey, you got it. You think I could afford that brand new Tahoe right there? And she's not giving in. So I jump in the car and drive down and go to the next gas station and, you know, get him a 10. I get back and he's like, what, you know, and coach, you know, people that know coach, maybe, you know, he gets very intense. He's like, what the heck took you so long? And I'm, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, I got ID'd. Which one ID'd you? And I told him, well, after practice, he went to that gas station and asked her why she ID'd me, you know, and didn't believe that it was Coach McClain's car and Coach McClain. She wanted an autograph and he wouldn't give it to her and he left, you know, but it was, you know, it, yeah, it was the roles you have. I always came out with him, you know, before a game, you know, I was kind of like his personal protector and he'd bounce ideas off me right before the start of the game. And you know, and I don't think I ever gave him a wrong opinion, at least, because he never came after me after games. But, you know, it's pretty wild to be, you know, standing there next to a Division I head coach and he's bouncing an idea off you right before the game starts, you know. But it was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, even from your original with at NIAC, just having the opportunity to just trial by fire and start learning right away. I mean, there's no better recipe for success other than just go out and experience and do it. And obviously every coach that we bring on here talks about, you know, never really being ready when that first time comes or the head position is offered, but finding a way to get ready and experience is the best medicine for that as well. But take me through a little bit of the timeline. So Wyoming, you come back then and you're the lead assistant at NIAC. How did things progress in your career from there?
Well, I came back and, you know, I was under Coach Craftson. I think he was there another 5 years. And then he got the opportunity to become the girls' head coach at DMAC, you know, be a little bit closer to family. And, you know, it was a little bit better situation, I'll be honest with you. You know, the thing I really found out in junior college, especially, you know, back then was, you know, money was such an arms race. You know, we had our recruiting budget compared to a Kirkwood or DMAC was just massive. You know, we had two or three full rides we could give out. You know, they had 10 to 15, you know, so really, you know, recruiting, it was a dogfight, you know, and we had to sign some $500 kids and hope that they panned out to be $2,500 kids, but guess what? They were making 500, you know, so I hung on there, you know, he left, Coach Martin came in, Brian Martin, who's at Co now, you know, he comes in as the next head coach and, you know, he was awesome. You know, he comes in and, you know, we had just signed a great class. He came and met with me after he took the job and we actually went to a local restaurant, here and he sat down with me and he's like, what do I need to know about this job? You know, it was his first head coaching job. You know, he's coming from as an assistant from Indian Hills. And, you know, he's asking me about some of the guys we signed and I'm like, hey, they're good. And, you know, he's kind of thinking like, let me be the judge of good, you know, but, you know, we talked for about an hour and a half and, you know, he bought me enough beer that finally at the end, he goes, are you going to be my assistant or not? And I, you know, I said, yeah, this is the guy I want to work for. But B-Mart was awesome. You know, he was great to work for, you know, again, empowered you, made you feel like it was part of it. And, you know, we had a good first year under him, with all those freshmen that we had signed. And then his second year, you know, really, you know, we had a great year, you know, 23 wins, you know, ended up finishing, you know, I think second or third in the league, which for us, like I said, on our budget was unbelievable. You know, just if you look at what we had compared to what the other guys had and, you know, he stayed one more year and then got the job up in North Dakota as an assistant, you know, and so it was one of those deals of, you know, you hate to see two of your, you know, close friends, mentors leave. And then Mark Mole came and I stayed on for his first year, just to kind of help transition it. You know, it's hard to say goodbye to those kids that you've recruited and put so much time into. But my family was growing and my wife was like, hey, you know, you're gone four nights a week recruiting. You got games the other two nights, you know, we're getting close to, you know, we had two kids by then and, you know, she pretty much was starting to lay the gauntlet down of, hey, this is something's got to be done here, you know? And so actually you know, that's when I decided to hang it up from the college aspect, and just, you know, try to focus more on, you know, just being a dad and being a husband.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, fathers on this side too. We completely understand that. And that was going to be my next question is how in the world are you making this work? But so going back to B-Mart, obviously we've had B-Mart on here. Good guy, obviously super well connected throughout the state. So, you know, any story you have about B-Mart we'll take, but I also want to know what restaurant we're all about these restaurants and especially with some libations. So where do you remember? Where did he take you?
I took him to the OP actually here. He said where to go in North Iowa and I took him to the OP. You can never go wrong, you know.
Never go wrong.
Lake OP. I took him here.
Oh, that's perfect. Can't lose with that. That's for sure. So, well, good. And you've talked to, I mean, one of our questions that we had down, we always like to know, you know, as far as mentors and kind of who helped you, you've talked a lot about, you know, getting into the business and a lot of the guys that have helped you. Is there anybody that you haven't named yet that maybe, really kind of started to deform who you were as a coach?
You know, I mean, honestly, those guys, you know, Coach Craftson, you know, obviously was first and foremost. And then, you know, Coach Adams, Coach McLean out of Wyoming, and then, you know, B. Martin really, you know, really were the guys that got me to the point of believing that, hey, you can be the head coach. You can be a head coach and you can do it. And, you know, that really is the guys that really solidified me. And I'd say learn the most. Obviously, you pick up stuff from, you know, high school, you pick up stuff from there. But, you know, when you get to those levels of basketball, you know, and learn from guys like Coach Craftson that played for, you know, Lute and Dean Smith and, you know, we're under Johnny Orr and Tim Floyd, you know, I mean, you know, it really solidifies what you're, you know, what you're trying to get to.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. So then when does the coaching bug start to come back around, and or how do we come about? Obviously, I know you have a growing family, athletic and active family, and so I'm sure getting that kind of settled. When did all of a sudden this Clear Lake position start to become a thought and then ultimately become real for you?
Well, it was actually, you know, I think I did kind of apply. I think it was after Coach Craftson left that the Clear Lake job actually came open. And I threw my name in the hat a little bit, but Coach Ludwig was actually, he was the coach up here, and now he's actually AD and a good friend. But, you know, he kind of told me, he goes, Jeremy, and I had known him a little bit, and he goes, Jeremy, he goes, the assistant's going to take it, and he's a teacher here on staff. You really don't got a chance, you know. So, but I at least did the interview process. At least it gave me an idea. After Coach Martin left, you know, I did have some talks, you know, with NIAC about being the next head coach if I wanted it. And it was hard for me to say yes, just because watching two of my mentors leave, and some of the reasons they left for is like, you know, why fight the battles that they had to fight, you know, the low budget and stuff like that. So, you know, that really wasn't in my mind. And so, you know, I took a year off actually. And then a good friend of mine, in town here, they had some kids growing up, and there was a couple parents here in town that came and approached, me and, actually now my present day assistant, you know, about coaching. They had some fifth graders coming up, you know? And so we kind of were like, yeah, let's try it. Let's do it. You know? So we actually coached, I took a year off, coached fifth and sixth grade basketball, and then fourth and fifth, or coached them through fifth and sixth grade travel team. And from there, after the sixth grade year, the varsity job opens up, and, you know, a couple of the parents were like, this is time. And, you know, I came into my wife and I said, hey, you know, I think I want to get back into coaching for real. And I said, I think we can make it. I take that back. No, I got my timeline all messed up. So after I coached fifth and sixth grade, I volunteer with Clear Lake for 2 years. I actually helped them, for 2 years. And then the next year, or took a year off, and then the high school job opens up. But coaching the, you know, volunteering for the high school for those 2 years kind of taught me the ins and outs a little bit of high school. You know, and got me to the point of, you know what, I can be a head coach at the high school level, even a 3A basketball. I know enough, you know, I can do that. And so, you know, I took that year off after volunteering for 2 years, the job comes open, you know, I applied and got it. And then obviously rest is history, I guess you could say. I'm still here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so you gotta be honest though, coaching fifth grade, sixth grade, there's a lot to learn about coaching basketball at that level, isn't there?
It was, you know, it was great because we weren't, me and Tim Meyer, who's actually my assistant now, played at NIAC, played at UNI for Eldon. You know, we did it and we had such fun with it. You know, we really got after them. You know, we had them playing defense shell, and really got after them and taught them to play the right way. And it was nice not having your kid on there, you know, so we just, we coached them like you should. The year before, they weren't very good. I think they lost to another team like 40-3. So we're like, you know, the parents were awesome because they're just like, hey, you know, we'll get you whatever you want after the tournament. But, you know, you gotta get some wins in here. You know, the ironic part is those kids that we coached in fifth and sixth, when we made it to state, you know, 2 years ago, they were juniors, you know, so they really got really good, you know, from playing. And you know, I think it's because we did, you know, really hold them accountable and really, you know, teach them the game the right way. And they had a lot of success coming through.
I think that's huge, especially at the lower levels. I think, you know, there's an emphasis. It is a game. It's supposed to be fun. But the accountability and the expectations, maybe even more than anything, is, you know, when you have realistic expectations, and a lot of times it's uncomfortable because they're higher than maybe they have expectations on themselves. Like, that's when teams really start to rise up and, you know, coaching really starts to happen. But yeah, having coached at pretty much all levels myself, it's always a good idea for no matter what level of coach, you're at the highest college level, highest high school level, take a step down every once in a while and go coach some fourth graders, go coach some fifth graders, or, you know, jump over and grab yourself a sixth grade girls team or something. And you're going to learn a lot about your coaching style and what needs to be taught.
Certainly, you know, it's very humbling. You know, it's a thankless position, and I have a great relationship with all of our, you know, as a varsity coach, now all of our youth coaches, you know, just because I have done it and I do it. Like right now, you know, I'm helping with, you know, our girls varsity AAU team, you know, the local AAU team my daughter plays for, and I've coached my youngest, my fifth graders team, you know, and stuff like that. But it's good to go out and coach all those different levels. You bring some stuff back to your varsity team that, you know, you really, you know, makes you look for it in a different light. And, you know, it really does help you, you know, and to get around it. It's nice, you know, I go to some of these and I'm just the assistant, you know, so it's nice to go from being the top guy to all of a sudden just being an assistant, you know, and keeps you very humble.
It does. And you see the game from different levels too. I mean, you see the game from the head chair to the second chair to a parent to way up at the top of the seats. I mean, every chance that you can to see the game at a different level will obviously help you as a coach. And it sounds like you're all about that and taking care of it. And so that's great. That's wonderful to hear. And, you know, I got to admit, obviously playing against Clear Lake growing up, I know that the level of competition and expectations that, you know, the community has and the support that it has, which is absolutely wonderful. Very competitive in all sports, football, basketball, baseball, golf. I mean, there was always a battle with Clear Lake, no matter where they were at in the conference. And so speak a little bit to that, as far as what you're trying to do to continue to build, what the future looks like, and maybe a little bit of how your roster is shaping up for next year.
Well, we've been, like I said, we've been fortunate. We just finished, you know, my, seventh year here. You know, we were fortunate enough. We took over the program. You know, they had won the conference the year before that we took it over. But you know, my ex, when I was helping as a volunteer assistant, you know, the expectations here were just to finish in the top half. You know, they had a couple good classes come through. They're fortunate enough to win the conference. You know, we take over my first year, and you know, it's we were okay. I mean, we weren't great, but we ended up winning the league. You know, but really trying to put into our culture that we wanted, you know, we wanted to get up and down. We wanted to, you know, defend, at a high level, you know, really push the pace and, you know, really change how, you know, we perceived it, the game was being played. And, you know, we had a couple down years a little bit after that. I'd say, you know, the next year we're kind of 500, very humbling again, you know, just, you know, you come into it, you win the league the first year and you're like, hey, this is going to be easy. Well, it ain't going to be easy, you know? And we didn't have that culture built in. We didn't have the program established. You know, when we came in, the first thing we did is say, you know, I was fortunate enough to start with coaches at every single level, seventh all the way through 12th, was everybody's brand new. You know, so when we came in, we're like, here's what we're running seventh through 12th. We're running the same stuff, the same out of bounds plays, the same Kansas fast break, you know, the same pressure defense, you know, what we can based on, you know, the ages, you know, And then I met with all the youth coaches, you know, and I said, here's what I want. You know, here's what I expect. Here's my out of bounds plays. I'm not expecting you to run them. I'm telling you to run them, you know? And so, you know, now we're in year seven, you know, just completing year seven. You know, after that first, you know, year, 2 years, you know, now we've won four straight league titles. You know, we've gotten to state twice now. You know, 2 years ago when we went to state, we were 24-0 at the state tournament and number one in the state. And that was the first time in 40 years that Clear Lake had been to state. You know, it was like a foregone conclusion that it just wasn't going to happen. You know, and after my first couple of years, I didn't know if it was ever going to happen, you know, just because you didn't know, you know, it's tough in 3A. It's really tough to get there. You know, we're, like I said, we're fortunate enough to, you know, we've got guys that every year when they come up, now they know what the expectations are. Now they know what we want to do. You know, it's really easy. They know, you know, what we're doing, you know, as a program all the way through. You know, we really, my first couple of years, you know, coming from college, man, we're going to press, we're going to go all over them. And we did. The problem is we lost right away in the playoffs, you know, just, you know, we didn't value the possession like you should, or the, you know, each one. And, you know, we've kind of changed our mindset and gone, you know, really focused on our half court defense after those first 3 years and got so much better at that. We still run, we still, you know, top 10 in the state in scoring, you know, but now we're top 10 in the state in defense, you know, so, that's when you start getting really good. But, you know, looking forward, you know, we've the last 4 years, we've had a kid on all state team, which was never done here. You know, and now we've got players, we've developed players through each year to now it's, you know, we're starting to replace all state players with another one, you know, so, you know, the future looks bright, you know, like I said, we've got to replace a couple guys going into next year, but, you know, the guys coming back, we feel really good about, and, you know, the guys underneath them, we feel really good about, you know, we play some younger guys if they're good enough, but, you know, we're not relying on, you know, the next class. You know, so it's, you know, we're starting to see some fruits from our bearings from the early years.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, and I don't think it's any coincidence, draw a lot of parallels to Nate Staggy and what he's done at Waverly Shellrock, starting with the youth program and starting at the lower levels and just being consistent and setting those expectations. I mean, it's all very much the same. And then starting to become a main staple down in the state tournament, which, as you mentioned, you guys are definitely on that path as well. And maybe no coincidence that you got the black and gold colorways are the same too. So there might be yeah, something, if you, any schools out there shopping for some new colors, maybe go that way. But, no, that's great, coach. And you know, to that point, I mean, you pretty much said it, but those youth programs, how important are those for your program as a whole? And then just from the consistency level, I like the idea that you know, they're running the same stuff and have the same principles that you want to see. Obviously every game and every team kind of calls for some variations, and, you know, you'll adjust those once you get those kids at your level. But as long as we kind of have some of the same vision in mind, how big is that for your continued success as a program?
Well, it's huge. You know, when I took over, you know, honestly, middle school and even ninth grade were running different offenses and stuff than the varsity was. And it was just, it was something that we had to get fixed right away. You know, obviously in Clear Lake, football's always been huge here. You know, they've been unbelievably successful, and, you know, they've always had the same consistency all the way down. So obviously that was a quick model that I could look at and be like, hey, this is what we've got to do. But, you know, obviously the school led teams that I can, you know, have my hands on every day, it was really key to get into that, and do that. And then obviously with the youth teams, you know, youth basketball and the travel teams can get sideways pretty quick. You know, it was nice that when I was down and did fifth and sixth grade, you know, it was nice to see that. And so I had experience doing that, so I could tell them, say, hey, I've been there. I know what you can run and what you can't run. And, you know, and you guys can run this, but, you know, youth sometimes can be a, you know, what I say sometimes, and I say it in jest, but, you know, travel teams and stuff can be what I call them is a necessary evil. you need them, but things can get sideways. Like I said, you know, you can get some people in there that have an agenda, want to do their agenda, you know, and, you know, sometimes kids get left out, you know, sometimes teams are picked just based on friends, you know, and stuff like that. A couple of things that we've implemented, you know, since I've been the head coach, is we've got a winter basketball program on top of their travel teams, you know, our Hoop Squad League, which has grown to about 96 kids first through sixth. And what we do is my varsity guys and JV guys, what we do is we have a workout. We work all these kids out and my kids are sitting there evaluating them. And then we get done with that and we go in and draft and we draft these kids. You know, there's first and second grade division, third and fourth, and then fifth and sixth. And based on where you want to coach or whatever, but our kids draft those. And I make our youth coaches, you know, our travel team coaches, your kids have to be 100% participation. So they're doing it on top of their weekend schedules and stuff. But, you know, there's a chance for us then to see a kid that, you know, A, maybe not on a travel team. And if he's pretty good, guess what? He's getting told he's going to be on a travel team. But the other thing is what we see is maybe a kid that on that travel team is, you know, he's a C or a D option. You know, he's not one of the top options. But now all of a sudden you draft a team and now he's an A or a B option on our Hoop Squad League, and confidence grows. They grow as a player, they grow as a deal, but you know, that's been really good. You know, the other thing we do is during the summer, you know, kind of going back to, you know, back in the day, but we do a 3-on-3 league outside on some courts. Now I got to figure something else out because we built this big brand new stadium, football stadium, and they got part of it as the parking lot took over my outdoor courts. But, you know, but it's awesome getting the kids out there on asphalt. There's wind, and you know what? You might want to worry about getting to the rack more than just shooting jumpers and threes. But, you know, that's been good. We do that down to about fifth, sixth grade up through high school, you know, 3-on-3, really teach them how to play, do some tournaments, you know, but do a season with that during the summer. And, you know, both those things have really helped, you know, get more kids involved, as well as, you know, let us get our hands on more kids, you know, and see them and really evaluate and see what's coming up.
Just bringing me back to my Gus Macker days, Coach.
That's right.
Reminiscing about 3-on-3 outdoors, man. Fun times. Well, hey, great stories here, Coach. We like to end our episodes with a little section called Rapid Fire, where Brian's going to hit you with a couple questions, some about basketball, some not, and you just tell us what you think.
Perfect.
All right,
Coach. Shoot away.
All right. First one, we always lead with favorite visiting gym or arena that you've coached in.
Oh, you know, one of the funnest arenas now that we go to, and you'd have experience there, is down the fish tank. It's not quite as wild as it used to be back in the day, but down at St. Ed's, my first year, we're leading the conference by 2 games. We're rolling, and we go down there and just get steamrolled. And they're on us. The crowd's on us. There's 70-year-old people yelling at me, and we're getting just blasted in the first half. And I'm looking at, and my assistant is Coach Oyman. He's actually the golf pro in town here, and was a heck of a player, you know, here. And he just looks at me. I'm like, Mike, this is nothing. We have not played like this all year. What is going on? And he just looks at me and he goes, Jeremy, it's the gym. It's the gym. Many teams have come down here that have been really good and just fallen flat on their face. And I tell you what, after my halftime performance in front of our team, I don't know how our bus made it home that night and didn't have a breakdown, because, you know, I said some things that I can't believe that were shed in good light. But, you know, it's become one of my favorite places to play because we've won there the last 4 years. But, you know, what an experience. Small, you know, just a good old school field gym.
It is. It's definitely a little bit, like you said, it's a little bit of a dark hole where people go, good teams go to die, because it's different. It's different than the bright shiny that you might have throughout the rest of the league. So that's a good one. I like that. Okay. So helping us and our listeners out here a little bit, going to your other actual profession, what's one question that you got to ask when shopping for a new boat?
I would say how much money is it, but right now we're kind of in a boat shortage, you know. You know, the biggest deal you want to do is you want to be taken care of by your dealer, but you know, so Clear Lake Boats is obviously a number one, but you know, we're kind of right now, if you're shopping for a boat, you're probably too late for the summer. I'll tell you that right now, because we're sold. I think everybody around the nation sold out of everything.
I was going to say, I think just getting anything right now, no matter what the manufacturer is about impossible. And so I completely understand that. My question probably would, if I came in and asked you, I would say, does it go fast? Would probably be my first question. So,
but, or pull a tube.
There you go. Yeah, that too. All right. So what's your favorite sports movie? Big sports guy growing up, played them all. So do you have a favorite sports movie?
You know, I still go back to The Program, you know, football movie. That was pretty sweet. You know, I remember when that came out, that was like, this is big time, you know? That's still one of my favorites.
That's great. Yeah. A lot of quotes that we used, throughout my football career, from that movie too.
But so above the rim is probably number two.
I'm right there too.
I've forgotten about one.
Spread your fingers, snap your wrist. I still use that every once in a while. So, that's great. Well, favorite golf course?
Down in, we go once a year down with, down for Jay DeVries's, golf outing in, Polk City.
TCI.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. That's I lose a lot of golf balls there, but that's one of my favorites that we golf at each year.
Yeah, it is a good track. It's a tough track. You get out there with any wind, and you can definitely lose a lot of balls. But I didn't know, I haven't played, but I've heard good things about Rice Lake up in Lake Mill. So I didn't know if that was going to make the board or not.
That should. I mean, that should. That's my home course back in the day. But no, that's a fun course as well. Very, very well maintained. But it's hard to beat TCI.
Yeah, Rice Lake's a little bit of that diamond in the rough as well. I've been referred to. So that's great. You have any good Lou's Lounge stories that you could share with the podcast, or did you not frequent Lou's?
I don't have a lot of great stories, you know, but, my, you know, the old owner of it, T-Bird, was a very good family friend. My wife actually worked there, worked for T-Bird. You know, I don't have any great stories. You know, I only did a couple of those teen nights, not, I wasn't driving down for that, but, you know, It certainly is a sacred place in my household here, just because of our relationship with T-Bird. You know, he was actually in my wedding, so he was a big part of my family until he passed away last year.
Oh man, that old Lou's Lounge. I think we only made a trip over once or twice too, but I know some people from Algona would frequent Lou's for those teen nights, but we had the jukebox in Algona, so we didn't always have to go anywhere, but that's a good spot.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Favorite basketball shoe?
Retro 11s.
Love it.
That's easy.
That's a home run right there too. Can't go wrong with those.
I actually pulled them out this year and coached them. With COVID, you know, we dressed down a little bit this year. I showed up in those at the gym, and I think my team, and especially my daughter, you know, she looked at me like, what are you doing? But
statement shoe.
You know, I kind of like it. The one good thing I will say about COVID was, you know, not being in a suit and tie every night, you know, so it was kind of nice to be dressed down like these college guys are, and, you know, kind of went casual some nights.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everyone is sharing that sentiment after talking with a bunch of guys. But so the white, black Concord 11s, are those the ones that you had on?
Black and red.
Okay, nice. The breads, I like it. So when Adam and I get a chance to come to Clear Lake to catch a game, where do we got to go grab a bite to eat? I know we talked a little bit about OP. Is this going to change? But where do we got to grab a bite to eat before the game?
You got to go to the OP. That's still number one to go to. You want food and something to drink. That's still the place to go to. They've added on. It's huge. And, you know, it still is the place before and after a game.
Yeah, that's a good spot there right along the highway. Speaking of right along the highway, ever happened to either been in or know anybody or anything? What's the deal with that pyramid house that's got going on over there in Clear Lake?
It's still a rental. It looks terrible every time you drive by it, but, you know, it's still a rental. It's like 7 bedrooms or something. But every time I think they've tried to sell it, it's probably the only house in Clear Lake that they can't sell. So they keep it as a rental. But I've never been in it. I've never been in it.
It's interesting. It definitely, yeah, it doesn't look to be near what it was back in its heyday as far as maintenance, but I imagine that's a maintenance nightmare. So, but still a staple of Clear Lake. If you've driven by it all, you've probably seen it. So, well, Coach, last one, we'll get you out of here on. We like to end with what is your favorite thing or the best thing about being the head coach at Clear Lake High School?
Well, just the scene from when I started to where it's at now, just the support from the community, the school and everything, you know, behind us. You know, when I started here, obviously, you know, it's always been a good football town. You know, football's always been very successful. You know, like I said, basketball, we always had that drought, you know, hanging over our head. It was kind of like the Cubs curse, you know, like when are they ever going to get back to state? There's a lot of good teams that, you know, fell short. And, you know, we've kind of broken through that. Obviously now we've gone 2 and 3, you know, 2 state tournaments in 3 years. You know, it's nice that, you know, the support we've gotten is amazing. You know, this year was hard to tell, obviously. You know, last year we were getting fans that were just nuts. Our crowds were full on our side, and we've got a good sized gym. You know, our crowds were full on our side and halfway on the opposing team side, and really made it a heck of a, you know, a place to play. You know, we won 49 straight home games. You know, Algona unfortunately broke it for us, the support was amazing. Then this year obviously hits and you can't have any fans, but people are texting me like crazy. Can you get us in? Can you get us in? Can you get us in? And, you know, streaming was working, but, you know, seeing the real thing in person was great. And then, you know, once they lifted the restrictions, you know, we started getting more and more fans. And but it's just great now. You know, everywhere you go there, you know, people are asking, you know, how's your team going to be? You know, and that really never was the case. And so, you know, like I said, the support's been amazing. And that's just the best part, you know, knowing that, you know, you've done something and, you know, your staff has done something that's created something that the city's really proud of, you know. And we made it to state this year, and, you know, we had a great crowd. You know, unfortunately we didn't win, but, you know, had an unbelievable crowd and unbelievable following. And this was the first year that girls and boys made it both in the same year, you know. So we really hammered the highway to Des Moines, you know, for 2 weeks straight, you know. But that's the best part, you know, is just being in charge of something that, you know, that everybody's proud of and can be proud of and look for as, you know, something to look forward to.
That's great, Coach. We greatly appreciate you taking some time, sharing some insight. Love some of your stories and little nuggets too. You guys obviously have a great thing going up there in Clear Lake. We wish you the best of luck. Obviously, we're fans and we'll continue to follow along with your journey. And obviously, anything we can do to continue to help, we'll be here for you.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. As Brian said, we appreciate your time. And our listeners, we appreciate you as well. If you like what you hear, we'd love it if you gave us a 5-star rating wherever you catch your podcast. You can catch us on social media. Search Shooters Touch on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Shooters Touch IA. And our new website, ShootersTouchPodcast.com. As usual, shooters shoot. Had to bounce back, wasn't right in my mind. Hustling harder than ever before. Saying I change, cause I like when I shine. The diamonds hit different like Mike in his prime. I got the shooter's touch. Can't nobody ball like me.